All right. Let's stand. And I'm going to read verse 20 down to verse 33. 17, 20 to 33. Luke 17, starting in verse 20, I'm going to read out loud. You just follow along. We're going to read down and including verse 33. All right? Luke 17, starting in verse 20. Follow along, please. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Father, thank you that we could gather together today. What a blessing to have a copy of this book in front of us. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We pray now that you would bless as we look at these different thoughts today. Lord, I've got many things on my mind. I need you to help me, Lord, to convey these things. I just pray that you'd work greatly upon each and every one of us as individuals. Lord, you know our spiritual needs. And so, Father, we pray that as the word of God goes forth, the Holy Spirit would take that word and apply it to each and every one of our hearts and souls and lives. Lord, we thank you again for so much. You're such a good and wonderful and gracious God. We don't deserve anything that we have today that you have given to us. And Lord, we are thankful and grateful for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to that old rugged cross on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for taking our sin penalty. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. Thank you, Lord, for your burial and your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your second coming. And we know, as we just read about your second coming, Lord, that one of these days you are coming soon. We don't know when that is, but Lord, we do believe that it is soon. So Lord, we pray that you'd move and work upon each and every one of our hearts today. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. I'm on here, right? I'm not very loud, but the title of the message, I never preached on this before from what I can gather. I went back through my records and looked, and I can't see where I've ever preached on this particular subject before. But the title of the message today is very simple: Remember Lot's Wife. Remember Lot's Wife. Verse 32 of Luke 17, it says, "Remember Lot's Wife." Now, this is right after Jesus healed 10 lepers. You remember that story, how 10 lepers were there, and they all wanted to be healed. Jesus healed all 10, and only one came back and gave Jesus the credit, the honor, and the glory that he deserved. And, of course, the other ones ran off. They were healed physically, but they were never healed spiritually. The one that came back was healed both physically and spiritually. The 9 out of 10, they were more concerned with their physical health than they were about their spiritual health. That's almost a message in itself. That seems to be, to me, that more people today are more concerned about their physical well-being than they are about their spiritual well-being. Everybody's concerned about how they feel. Everybody's concerned when they have a headache or a toothache or a body ache or this aches or that aches. And we're concerned about that. We run to the doctor, we get our prescriptions, and, you know, we're concerned about how we feel physically. But are we really that concerned on how we feel spiritually? Only one came back and thanked the Lord, and Jesus then told him, go, you know, where's that verse? He said, verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The faith that that man had when he came back made him whole, not only just physically, but whole spiritually. So Jesus just did this, and now he gets into a little dissertation on the second coming of him. Now, the comparison verses are Matthew 24 and Mark 13. You can go over there and get more details out of those. Luke only kind of just glazes over them briefly, but he says some interesting things here, Luke, as he records this, that we're not going to get into everything. We don't have time for this. But when I was reading this past week, what really spoke to my heart was those words of Jesus Christ when he said, remember Lot's wife. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, not the, but one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but he makes a very interesting statement when he makes those three words. I got looking into this a little bit more, and Jesus said a few times in the Gospels to remember certain things. Take a look at Matthew 16 and verse 9. 16:9. Matthew 16:9. Matthew chapter 16, verse 9. It would do us good to go back and remember some things in our life. Sometimes, you know, you get older, you forget stuff, right, Jim? Yeah, okay. You are Jim, right? Yeah, we don't know. But we tend to have a sense of forgetting some things as we get older. And Jesus said, you know, a few times to remember some stuff. It seemed like he had to say this more to his disciples than anybody else, because they had a tendency to see Jesus do something, but then shortly thereafter, totally forgot about it. And so, verse 8, it says, we'll look at verses 8 and 9, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Jesus went back and said, don't you remember this? And probably as he was saying this, they were saying, oh yeah, yeah, we remember that. Yeah, 5,000, you fed 5,000 men, the Bible says, but that didn't include all the women and the children. Yeah. And out of just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we had 12 baskets left over. The 7, you know, then 4,000 men were fed out of just a few fish and some loaves of bread. And they had, 7 baskets filled up. Now we do remember. But Jesus had to say, don't you remember? And so there are times that we have to remember some things that the Lord says. Look at Mark 8:18. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Mark 8, verse 18. Mark 8:18. I'm just going to briefly just read the verse, move on, because I have some things here we're going to look at. Mark 8 and verse 18. Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember, Jesus said. Don't you remember? And so he's touching on this thing called remembering again. Luke 16 and 25. Luke 16 and verse 25. Luke 16:25. This is the serious part of this rich man that's in hell. Luke 16:25, and Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now I know that this is Lazarus speaking, but Jesus is telling a story. When he says, remember that thou in thy lifetime. And here's this rich man burning in hell, but Abraham, through Christ, is saying, you need to go back and remember how things were in your lifetime. Take a look at John chapter 15 and verse 20. John 15, 20. John 15 and verse 20. Now, there are some things that you would love to forget, wouldn't you? Come on, say amen. There are some things in your life that you wish that you could forget. We talk about, you know, forgiving and forgetting. Well, you can forgive fairly easily, but you can't forget certain things. Now, sometimes God will, maybe He'll erase your mind of that particular thing. And God has done that. God has erased some things from our minds. Thank God for that. But there are many things in our life that we have a hard time forgetting. They seem to come up. Sometimes I think the devil likes to bring things out just for us to go back in our memory banks and think about some things that weren't very good, but we have that tendency to do that. In John 15 and verse 20, this is what Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." But I've underlined those three words, "Remember the word." Boy, please don't ever forget the word of God. Remember the word. 16:4, John 16:4. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." There's going to come a time with the apostles, they were going to remember some things after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here's the interesting thing that I want to bring to you today. Only one individual in the entire Bible that I can see that Jesus said to remember about Lot's wife. He never said to remember Lot. He didn't say remember Sodom and Gomorrah. He never said remember Abraham, remember this one, remember that one. He simply made a very short statement there in Luke chapter 17 when he said, "Remember Lot's wife." I often wonder, why did he say that? Why did Jesus say, "Remember Lot's wife"? She's nameless to us, except for, I call her Mrs. Lot. You can call her Lot's wife or whatever, but that's what the Bible refers to her as. Well, we may learn her name when we get to heaven, I don't know, but she is Lot's wife. And Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Now, to remember Lot's wife, you've got to go over to Genesis chapter 19. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. I'm not going to get into all the details of this whole story. We certainly don't have time for that. But you know the story. If you've read the book of Genesis, hopefully you're reading through your Bible again this year, and you have read Genesis chapter 19 about the two angels that are sent off by the Lord. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The three of them appeared to Abraham. And then the Lord, and I believe the one was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, and then the two angels were sent off. And then in chapter 18 is when Abraham negotiates with God. That's an amazing passage. I've always been kind of thrilled to read that. When Abraham negotiates with God, he starts off with 50 and he works his way all the way down to 10. And it's like he starts with 50 and he said, then he goes to 45 and then he drops to 40. And then he goes to 30, and then he goes to 20, and then finally Abraham goes down to 10 in verse 32, when he says, and I'm in chapter 18, verse 32, and he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry." It's like Abraham was testing the Lord's patience by slowly negotiating the numbers. And I believe it's because Abraham knew there wasn't enough righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah to save the cities. And in chapter 19, when you read chapter 19, the first part of that, you see how wicked they were. Even Lot himself, as he was living here for a number of years, I don't know how long, I don't know if the Bible really tells us how long he was there in Sodom, but even Lot himself in verse 7 of chapter 19 says these words, "Do not so wickedly." Lot was in Sodom, and you should know as an adult, if you've read your Bible, you know what was prevalent in Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuality. Let's just be honest. That's what was prevalent. And that's what was going on in these cities. During this particular time, it was rampant. I mean, it was just overtaking cities and people and families, and it was to the point where it was just wickedness that was going on. God saw that wickedness and He said, He's got to destroy it. And yet He gave the opportunity in chapter 18 with Abraham to save the cities if he could find 10 righteous people in the city. And that's where we find, that's where we leave off. We see that in chapter 18, verse 32, we leave off with 10. And the Lord says, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." I will leave the city standing for 10 people, just 10 people. Give me 10 righteous people in the city, and the city will not be destroyed. And so the Lord, obviously, has already sent the 2 angels off. The 2 angels enter into Sodom there. They find Lot sitting in the gate, which means he had leadership abilities, and he was actually in some kind of a leadership role within the city. Lot had moved in and really got comfortable within the city. Even though he was there, the Bible tells us, and we would not have known this unless Peter had told us in 2 Peter, that Lot was a righteous person. Lot was a believer. In today's vernacular, he was a saved Christian like we are. Lot was. But you wouldn't know it, the way he was living, in the lack of him saying anything against the sin that was in his city. He was sitting in the gate, just kind of, you know, talking with the guys and having a good time and having a leadership position. Many people that sat in the gate were judges. They would judge over things that would come to them during the day. And so, but he looks at them and he says in verse 7, very interesting, that he recognized and realized how wicked they were. I think that many Christians today have gotten the same way as Lot has gotten. We sit there in our living rooms and we watch things on our TV that is wicked. And we don't say much about it. We allow cursing to come across the TV set into our living room and we don't say a whole lot about it. We allow movies to be played, or we'll go to the movie house and watch movies that are not fit for a Christian to watch. We know that it's wicked. We know that the ratings today can be wicked, right? We still have our DVDs and we watch those programs because they got a good story behind them, and yet the language and the stuff, it's wicked. It's wickedness. And yet many of us become just like Lot. We're there, we see it, we understand that it's wicked, but we still kind of allow it. We don't say much about it in our lifestyle. Shame on us. I'm going to say this gently because I'm preaching to me today, but many of us are just like Lot. We're saved, we're going to heaven, but do we preach and teach against the wickedness that we know that's around us? Do we say anything? We don't want to offend anybody today. Our churches today are churches that don't want to offend anybody. Let everybody come in, and if you've got a sin in your life, we won't mention that sin because we don't want to drive you away. Listen, the Bible doesn't change. The Bible's the same. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Bible is still the same. If it's sin, it's sin, folks. I don't care what society tells you. I don't care what the government tells you. I don't care what a friend may tell you or a relative may tell you. Sin is always and will always be sin until it's eradicated and destroyed. Lot. The other interesting thing I see in verse 7, and he said, I pray you, brethren. Why did Lot call these wicked people outside his door his brethren? Brethren? I made a note in my Bible. Calls them brethren with a question mark? What in the world are you doing, Lot? Calling these people brethren? And yet he was doing everything he could to keep them out? The angels had to bring blindness to those wicked people outside his door just so they could have the night at some rest, apparently? And so we see that after all of this that takes place, the angels tell Lot, I want you to go, and they say in verse 12, I'm in Genesis 19, verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, these are the angels, now remember that, these are the 2 angels, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. And then we see in verse 14, a Lot went out and spake unto what? His sons-in-law, plural, which married his daughters. How many did he have? He had at least 2 daughters that were married. He had at least 2 sons-in-law, right? Could have had more. I'm not sure. But we know that he had at least, and some people would say, and look at verse 12 and verse 14 as a contradiction, because the angel says, hast thou any besides son-in-law? That's singular. But I believe that the angels, they don't know everything that God knows. They're angels. They didn't really know Lot's family completely. They didn't know if he had sons-in-law, daughters-in-law. They didn't know if he had sons or daughters. They're just saying, listen, you've got anybody here in this city, you need to talk to them. And then in verse 14, Lot actually goes out and visits his family, visits and talks to his at least two sons-in-law that married his daughters, and he gives them the directive and says, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They looked at him and said, okay, Lot, you're one of these conspiracy theorists. Yeah, sure. Okay, look at around us. Remember what Jesus said about Sodom and during the days of Lot? That everything was going fine. Well, go back and look at that very carefully in Luke chapter 17. In Luke 17, there's two things mentioned there, and I know a lot of it has to do with the second coming of Christ and the tribulation and all that, but spiritually, I just wanted to show you this, that during the days of Noah, they were eating or drinking, they had plenty of food, they had plenty to drink, they married wives in verse 27 of Luke 17, they were given in marriage. Is there anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that, as long as they're not drinking the wrong stuff, right? Amen. There's nothing wrong with that at all, eating and drinking and marrying. We have people today that don't even marry today, you know, right? They just live together. But they were marrying, given in marriage, verse 28, as the days of Lot. They did eat. Look at this. They ate. They drank. They bought. They sold. Let me tell you, the Dow Jones is reaching, you know, limits every day. I mean, it's almost to 29,000. I don't think it's hit. It hasn't gone over 29,000 yet. Did it go over 29,000? I know it's really close. It's gonna go over 30,000 one of these days. I mean, the Dow Jones is just going crazy. People are buying and selling like never before. And that's exactly what the days of Lot are gonna be like. They're eating, they're drinking, they got plenty. They buy, they sell, they go out and they plant their gardens and their fields, they build buildings, and everything seems to be fine, right? That's exactly what was going on during the days of Noah and during the days of Lot. But right after that, obviously, Noah, the flood came, people thought Noah was a fanatic. He was a Bible-believing Baptist fanatic. He was preaching for 120 years that God's judgment was going to fall, and yet they were laughing at him. Things were fine. What judgment? What are you talking about? Everything is cool. Same with Lot. Everything's good. His sons-in-law are laughing at him when he's knocking at the door, warning of the judgment that was going on, or coming very, very soon. The sons-in-law said, Lot, what are you talking about? There's no signs of judgment around here. I mean, listen, our stocks are doing great. We got plenty of food. Look, there's no judgment. And I feel that Lot had to walk away from the homes of his daughters and sons-in-law, realizing that they didn't believe the warning that Lot had. He seemed as one that just mocked. Go back to Genesis 19, verse 15. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered. Why did he linger? I don't think he really wanted to leave. He knew he had to leave. He was being convinced by the angels. Matter of fact, they had to lay hand on him and the daughters, and his wife, and literally pull them out of the house, the comfortable home that they were living. They had to get them out, but they were lingering. I don't know what they were doing there. Maybe they were trying to pack their bags and grab all their, you know, expensive goodies that they had. Maybe they're trying to get all of the stuff out of the house, and maybe they just didn't want to leave right then and there. But they were lingering. And upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. I have underlined that in my Bible. The Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he, that's one of the angels, said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Little did Lot know that he was actually prophesying his future beyond Zoar. He says, I'm not a mountain person. I'm not a country living guy. I've been a city man here all this time. You're going to send me off to the mountain? Ain't no way, buddy. This is what Lot is saying. But even in this whole thing, God, through the angels, is showing mercy unto Lot. Okay. Lot says this in verse 20, Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city is called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So get the picture. Early in the morning they rise. They get out of Sodom. They leave Sodom. They're going out into the country. They turn and they go into Zoar. Zoar and Sodom were very close together anyway. And Gomorrah. They were all in the southern part, just around the southern tip of the Dead Sea. If you look at a map, you'll find Sodom, Gomorrah, Zoar at the southern part of the Dead Sea. And so they went off to Zoar. The Bible says there, and so they enter the city. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Now we all know the story about Lot's wife becoming a pillar of salt. There are some images over in the Middle East that represent or look a little like this pillar that might be still today of Lot's wife. But the question is why did Jesus say, remember Lot's wife, when it comes to the second coming of His second coming? That is the thought. That's the whole context of this message when we think about it. Is when Jesus gives that analogy in Luke 17, He's saying, listen, when you know it's time, you don't go back to your house and take what you need. You don't come out of the field and go back home. You make sure that you are fleeing and you are getting out and you are moving now, right now. That was the thrust of the whole message that Jesus was giving. Because He was saying, listen, if you care more about the things that you have, than you do about the spiritual aspect of this whole thing. He said that could destroy your life like Mrs. Lot was destroyed. And she was destroyed simply because she did look back. Now I think about this. What did she look back upon? They're already in the city of Zoar. It's not that they're somewhere in between Sodom and Zoar. They're not in between Sodom and the mountain. They've actually entered into Zoar, right? That's what the Bible says. But she turns and she looks. And that look was a fatal look. There are times in our life that we may have a fatal look. I have some examples that I wrote down in my Bible as I was looking at this and thinking about this. Eve had a fatal look. Right? Eve, the serpent, Satan, brought into light in Eve's mind that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was very good to look upon. And she looked at it, she lusted, and she literally gave into that and brought the entire world into a world of sin with her and Adam. That was a fatal look. Also, David had a fatal look. King David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. He should have been out fighting with the other kings. It was a time of war. He should have been out of Jerusalem. He lingered back in Jerusalem. He went up on his housetop and he looks and he sees Bathsheba. And you know the rest of the story. That was a fatal look that David had. That cost him the baby that Bathsheba had 9 months later. It cost him 3 other sons that he had. It literally cost him the building of the temple later on. It cost him dearly. That one look was what he looked at when he lusted after Bathsheba. It cost his family dearly. Achan was another one in Joshua chapter 7. He saw the Babylonian garment. He saw the wedge of gold. He saw the goodies there in Jericho. And he just thought, if I could just get a little of those material possessions and bring them back and hide them in my tent, I'll be set for life. Little did he know that God saw the whole action. Remember, God always sees what we do. But Achan had a fatal look. He looked and he saw. Samson, I believe, had a fatal look. Samson had a problem with his eyes. It was called lust. Samson lusted after women. And it cost him his eyesight. Eventually, it cost him... You think about that. The way that he looked at women, his eyes were removed after that. The solution to the way that we look at things is Job's solution. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think upon a maid? Job 31 and verse 1. Look at Psalm 119 verse 37. Psalm 119 verse 37. Psalm 119. Verse 37. Psalm 119 verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. That's a good solution for the look. Asking God to turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, empty things, worthless things, materialistic things, things of no value whatsoever. We spend a lot of time looking at things that really have no value at all. We spend very little time looking at something like the Word of God that has all the value. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. We read it in Sunday school. We'll read it again today if you missed it this morning. 1 John 2:17. 1 John 2:17. First John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means you can't serve God and mammon. You can't look at the things of the world and love them and still love God at the same time. It's impossible. You can't do that. Don't think you can. So many Christians today think, well, I can love God and love the world too. No, you can't. You're fooling yourself. You're making an excuse for yourself. You can only do one or the other. You're either going to love God or love the things that you own. That's how that works. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So when Mrs. Lot turned and looked, the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. God instantly killed her. Now you can agree with that or disagree with that. But God immediately struck her down. But with that, he warned ahead of time. God always warns ahead of time. And she was warned through her husband that don't look. Do not look. Well, I wonder why. Just don't look. Well, can I just look a little bit? No, don't look. It's a simple, it's straightforward. You don't have to ask questions. If God says don't look, you don't look. What did she do? She turned. They're in Zoar. The fire and brimstone is raining down. She knows what's happening. Now, I'm going to say this gently because I've got to give her a little tiny bit of credit from a human perspective. She had family in that city. She had two daughters and two sons-in-laws, and they may have had some children. She may have had some grandkids in that city. Amen. I think there's a lot of other things that caused her to want to go back to Sodom. She had family there. But she had friends there also. That was where she would meet with her friends and they would gather together and they'd have their tea time and coffee time and she was very comfortable in Sodom. And God was disrupting the whole thing of their comfort. Pulling them out of Sodom, raining down the destruction upon it. It was all because, listen, it was all because of the sin that was going on in the city. Not necessarily the sin that was going on in Lot's life, but what was going on in the city. God says, we got to destroy this. Remember the flood. Like it or not, God can't stand sin. He always judges sin. And so, whatever we can, I'm not trying to excuse Mrs. Lot, I'm just saying there's reasons probably that she turned and looked because she knew what she was leaving behind and she had no idea what her future was going to be. All she knew that her home is being destroyed, her family is being destroyed there, all of her friends are being destroyed, her comforts of what was going on there in Sodom is being wiped out. I'll say this, I don't know if she was a believer or not. There's no Lot, we're told that he was a believer. Lot, we are told that his soul was vexed with the wickedness of the city, that he was a believer. We know that. Nothing is said about Mrs. Lot, except from Jesus' lips. Remember Lot's wife. When destruction comes, it can even come into the family of good, godly people. Remember her. There's a message here in Genesis 19 that deals with this whole issue of remember Lot's wife. She turned, she looked, she was made a pillar of stone, she was destroyed. Listen, God doesn't play games. God does not play games. When God makes a statement, He means it. And so I think that's pretty cruel of God to do that. All she did was turn and look. Were they told not to look? Okay? Agree with God or not, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. When God makes a statement, that statement, listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not gonna just relax on His judgment because you don't agree with Him. God makes the final decision, whether we like that or not. Now, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to learn a lot more than we know, because there's not a whole lot said there. But there's enough where I think that when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, I wrote this down at the bottom of my Bible. She loved a lot of Sodom more than Lot, her husband. Because she turned. Lot didn't turn. The two daughters didn't turn and look. But Mrs. Lot turned and looked. I think she cared more about what was back in Sodom than she had right there with her husband and with her two daughters. But that's my own personal view on that. Her heart was in Sodom. That's where she wanted to be, or she wouldn't have turned and looked. Did she even believe in God? We don't know. We don't know if she believed in God or not. These two daughters that comes out with Lot, very sad ending at the end of this chapter. Don't even like to think about it. Don't like to read about it when I read it, but I do. That's the last thing we hear about Lot in the Old Testament. I don't think these two daughters were believers. I don't think his other daughters were believers either. Lot escaped out of Sodom probably as the only believer. Remember what Abraham said? You find 10? The Lord said, I'll spare the city for 10 righteous souls. That means 10 believers. Right? That's what that means. And how many escape out of there? Probably. One. How long was Lot there in Sodom? I'm not sure how long he was there, how many years he was there. He may have had these children there in Sodom. Doesn't say anything about his family prior to Sodom. He may have had his family there. They may have been there long enough where the daughters grew up and married. Doesn't say anything about sons, but we just know that he had those four daughters at least. That this is the end of the family of Lot. It's one of the saddest stories in the Bible, I think. The story of Lot. There's so many lessons that we could talk about and learn from this. But Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Now, I remember Lot, but remember the wife, what she did, and how she failed to trust God, how she failed to believe God in His Word, how she did what she wanted to do when it came to this particular thing, and it cost her dearly. The lesson that I get out of this more than anything is that we as husbands, fathers, need to care about our families. Remember when Lot went to his sons-in-law? He acted as one that mocked them. They felt that he wasn't serious. You know why? He wasn't a serious father. He wasn't a serious grandfather if they had grandkids. He wasn't a serious Christian. He was saved. He was a Christian. He was, you know, as we say, the book of Job talks about getting into heaven by the skin of our teeth, something like that. He was a believer. No doubt about that. Peter makes that clear. But he didn't live his life like a believer. We need to live our lives like believers. Our family ought to know where we stand on issues. You might have believing kids. You may have non-believing kids. You might have believing family members or non-believing family members. But they ought to know where you stand. They ought to know what you believe. They ought to know you believe this book with all your heart. They ought to know that you believe in Jesus Christ and God. They ought to know that you love God. They ought to see you give to the missions and just be a giver and not a taker. They ought to know these things about you. Because with Lot, they had no idea. And when he came preaching judgment, they laughed him to scorn. And even his own wife didn't believe. Isn't that sad? Yeah. Mrs. Lot didn't even believe like her husband did. Did he even try to lead her to God? Did he even attempt to lead his family to God? Did he ever go to church? Or was he one of these Christians that just stayed home and did his own thing on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesdays? And just ignore the things of God? Did he ever get his kids into Sunday school? Did he ever lead his family to a Wednesday night prayer meeting? When the evangelist came into town, I don't think any evangelist came into Sodom, but I'm just saying today, when the evangelist comes, do you get your family into church so they can hear the preaching of the Word of God? Just something to think about. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot. Remember what happened in their life. Sad, very sad. Read the rest of the chapter, you'll see how sad it is. Extremely sad. Those children that Lot's daughters had were enemies of the people of God. Folks, we need to sit up and take note. We need to be concerned about the things of God. If the Lord is convicting you about something, you ought to do it. First of all, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I hope and pray you do. That's number one. Number two, are you serving the Lord? Are you obedient to Him? Do others around in your family, in your life, do they know anything about God because of you? Father, thank you again for the message, the lesson that we see here in the Bible. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to be better fathers, better husbands. Help us to be more serious,